It's good to be here this morning. I want to welcome each one to this part of the service. Glad for our visitors and all that are with us. And this morning, as I first got up, and it wasn't daylight yet, it looked pretty dreary out there. A little later, it looked pretty foggy and dreary. And a little bit past that, the sun started coming out, and it just, I don't know, something about that just felt, just gave you a good feeling. And a blessing, just counted a blessing to be able to meet today with fellow believers, with brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, children, I enjoy sharing vitamin C's with you, but I'm fighting this little thing called a cold or something, so I won't be doing that today. But they are here, I think, anyway. And I've handed that responsibility to my wife, so if you'd like a vitamin C after church, just find Darlene and she'll pass those out to you. Have hopefully some healthy C's to keep you from getting dealing with this thing. It seems like I'm just right on the edge of it. I want to look at a little phrase in the last part for the opening this morning, last part of Luke chapter 2. And the phrase I want to look at, I'll read some of that passage here in a little bit. The phrase I want to think about is, I must be about my Father's business. You know, I'm blessed when I see a sharing, caring congregation, people that reach out, they give of their time and their resources. We went to a wedding over in Farmington yesterday, so we weren't over here at Niangua, where some of you were, I don't know how many, but when I talked to somebody that was there and they said there was 150 people there working to get that set up, it just warmed my heart. You know, what a blessing to have a group of people like that, that have a vision and an interest in a work like that. I miss not being there. I do enjoy being there, but it is a blessing to see it go on and keep moving. And it's a blessing to, when I hear, you know, when we think about being about our Father's business, when you, as I thought about people here in this congregation, that, you know, some go somewhere kind of every year for a certain amount of time to give their time, to share. Others go here and there short times or longer times, maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And it's a blessing to be able to do that. But where do we start? Where does that start? I also wanted to mention this morning that some of you, maybe a lot of you already know this, but Brother Jonathan and his wife, Brother and Lydia and their family are leaving this next Monday, I believe it is, to go to Guatemala for about 6 weeks to fill a spot there at Jungle Breezes. I'll let Jonathan fill you in maybe what they're expecting to be doing there. But let's just keep them in our prayers. You know, we'll definitely miss them. But trust their time there will be a blessing to them. And I especially think it's especially nice for them to be able to go there, for Jonathan and his children to see firsthand where Lydia spent time and in service and make some connections there and let her brush up on her Spanish and maybe they'll learn some. So it's Guatemala is holds a special spot in our hearts. We spent 6 months there and almost 6 months there and made a lot of connections there, and it's a beautiful country. Okay, let's look at Luke chapter 2. I think I'll just break in there at verse 40 and it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child of Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. There's a lot in this passage, and we may hear more about this passage in the coming getting up close to Christmas here. We often hear about that, but I'd like to mainly look at this, that phrase, I must be about my father's business. How many 12-year-olds do we have here today? Okay, quite a few. It's kind of a nice time in life. I know some children that were really happy when they got there because the children's menu didn't work anymore. We can go on to the next one. I remember we were on a Western trip when I turned 12, and that turn made so I had to go in places as an adult where before I could go in as a child, and it made you feel kind of good to be there at that stage. But Jesus was here. He was by himself. Can you imagine having to walk 60 miles to maybe somewhere around there to get to Jerusalem, to this Feast of the Passover? Kind of walked to Springfield and back, almost. That's a long ways. And dusty roads, probably. They would have often averaged about 15 miles a day, so it could have taken them four days to get there, 3 or 4 days, probably. And it was common, normal for the women and children to go ahead and the fathers to catch up during the day. They kind of use this time to visit. And maybe that's how they left Jerusalem. Mary thinking that Jesus was with Joseph and Joseph thinking that he was with his mother. You know, that's a bad feeling to get somewhere and discover that you lost somebody. I've heard several stories like that. And it happened to us years ago. We were just young married. My younger brother was with us. We went to South Carolina for Christmas, and we needed to be back here Christmas Day, you know. And so we were there Christmas Eve and left to get home here for Christmas Day in the evening. And I stopped at a gas station, and my brother was in the back back sleeping under the sleeping bag. So when I filled up, I looked in there. He was in there. I went in and I paid, came back out. Everything looked the same, I thought. Quick look, and we took off. But I had this uncanny feeling after a while, no movement back there. And I kept watching the rearview mirror. And finally, a couple hours later, I pulled into the rest area and went back and opened the door and hollered, no, nothing, and shook the sleeping bag, and it was cold and empty. And no cell phone. We call to this end, my parents, and say, you hear anything from Gerald? No. Called my uncle, you know, woke him up in the middle of the night. No, nothing. Couldn't remember exactly where we stopped. Turned around and headed back and found the little receipt, and it said exit 161 on there. So that's where we headed for. And he was there, sitting in a booth reading a book when we got back. But you know, that is a bad feeling. That took us a couple hours, but can you imagine Joseph and Mary, and also maybe some of the fears that they had previously of people wanting to take out this king, and so now what may have happened? What went through their minds? They couldn't call back; they had to go back, it was a lot of stress. I can only imagine. I was stressed in a couple hours, but I can only imagine the stress that they felt in that time, and especially with the situation. So they searched all over for him, had a day's journey back to Jerusalem. And Jesus says, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And I don't know, I can only imagine thinking of Jesus as a child. He never sinned, but I think he took it on himself to put himself in the spot just like you young fellows. He faced the same temptations. I think he probably teased his siblings and played with them just like you did, but he was never mean, of course, I don't know how all that was, but he faced life. He could feel the things that we feel. So here he was, came back. He was in the temple. You know, as we think of ourselves, am I a child of God by identification with Christ? Do you look on your life as being about your Father's business? We talked about, talked about some in Sunday school. Somebody mentioned that. It should affect all of our life. Are we about our Father's business? Whether we're here, whether we're in Bangladesh, whether we're in Texas, whether we're going to Guatemala, wherever we are we about our Father's business? It's the Son of Christ. Jesus is Jesus living in me. The abiding reality is God. His order comes through the moments. Am I always in contact with that reality? Or do I only pray when things have gone wrong, when there is disturbances and things in my life that I'm struggling with? You know, it's something we have to constantly be aware of. I must be about my Father's business. Think of our own individual circumstances. Are you so identified with the Lord's life that you are simply a child of God? Continually talking to him and realizing that everything comes from his hands. Are you living in the Father's house? Are the graces of his ministering life working out through you in your home? You know, Mary and Joseph, they traveled that day not aware that Jesus wasn't with them, not aware of his absence. You know, don't we find ourselves in that same place sometimes? We go through the day, are we aware that maybe we haven't taken Christ with us, that he is not? We are just out there on our own. We're working hard, maybe even in the Lord's work. But is Christ with us? Or has he been absent and we've been struggling on our own? In your business, can Jesus hear by your words and actions that this is his business, that he is in this, that you are working for his kingdom, that's the first and foremost in every decision, every response we make? You know, do our customers see Christ in us? In your community, your church circle, and further out, but just think about right here, what do people see in you, in us, in me? What do those around us see in us? Is what he wants us to do the most important thing to you, to me? Is that what we really care about? Jesus, at 12 years old, sitting among the teachers, listening, asking questions. You know, is our conversation spiritually inspiring? Does it make us want to dig into the Word of God? You know, Jesus wasn't obnoxious. He replied respectfully. He was submissive to his parents. You know, sometimes we face things in life that seem to be too big for us. They're too big. We just can't. But can we, like Mary, ponder these things in our hearts? You know, Mary had an angel talk to her. She had the visit with Elizabeth. She saw Simeon and Anna bless her little son. But she was still searching for answers. You know, we too need to keep our hearts open, our conscience clean, so that he can speak to us as we go about the mundane duties of life. You know, the big piles of wash that have to be taken care of, the dirty dishes, the barns that need to be cleaned out, the jobs that need to be done. know, are we doing all those things for him? If it is, then it's no longer the mundane. You know, we must be about our Father's business. You know, real life is to let him have his way, to keep things in perfect union with him. The way he worked and the way he lived among men must be the way he lives in you and I. Let's bow our heads for prayer.